Let us pray. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Just a few days ago was the 30th anniversary of my father's death. Dad was a quiet man, though he did enjoy a party and dancing. Many would say it was my mum who wore the pants in the family. That saying meant something then. I mean, I hardly have any skirts or dresses in my wardrobe compared to pants. But Dad had his say and his way. And I don't think there was any particular ruler out of either of them. Being Father's Day, I thought I would talk about God as Father. And that means different things to different people. Perhaps to do with the relationship or the lack of it people have with their own father. But sometimes it has to do with what they have heard from others. People's image of God, sadly, can sometimes be that of a stern judge, a disapproving, distant figure, to the degree of a being that hates them. There are phrases that do not help this perception, like, God loves a sinner but hates the sin. And this phrase has been used against and maligned, particularly those of have a different sexual orientation, or those of a different religion or none. Of course, this has to do with what people categorise as sin. But the end result is that anyone who gets a message that God hates them or something about them is devastating. Hate is such a strong word, one you can't really modify at all. Some may use it lightly. Oh, I hate instant coffee, for instance. But really, hate is a very ugly, and when we attribute it to God, well, that's quite scary. Does God hate? Is there truth in that phrase, God loves the sinner but hates the sin? Well, I think we find a very clear answer in today's classic parable. Now, I just need to say that though I use the word father a lot because of the parable, I do not see God as male. I attribute both fatherhood and motherhood to God. But in this parable, what is being addressed is the perception of the authority of the Father and, by implication, God. Now, Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son to two audiences: the tax collectors and sinners, for whom this story was good news. The other audience were the Pharisees and the scribes, for whom this story was a warning. Both audiences were in a position to hear and be aware of each other hearing it as well. The Pharisees and scribes most likely were angry about the tax collectors and sinners hearing such a parable. The last thing they wanted them to hear was that they were loved and welcomed. The tax collectors and sinners probably also heard, along with the parable, the Pharisees and scribes' murmurings that it was wrong to welcome them and include them at his table. So who were they going to take heed of, Jesus or these other authorities? In the parable itself, we meet a Pharisaic and scribe-like character in the older brother. Here in the parable, the views of the Pharisees and scribes gets aired. How unfair and wrong it is that this younger brother should be welcomed back into the family and treated so well. He should be punished. How much, I wonder? It's an interesting one for us to consider. What punishment would we sentence people we were angry about to? Who would sit in the judge's seat and sentence someone to go straight to hell? Well, unfortunately, some do. But could they be right? It is a disturbing thought. But let us notice and be wise to what Jesus does. He does welcome and include those whom others treat as outcasts at his table. He tells stories about the great effort certain people, representing God, will take to find what is lost. And in this parable, the father, acts surprisingly against the grain, our grain. The prodigal son dares to come home. He comes not as a hero. No accompanying success or achievement, no trophy, no glory, no gifts or souvenirs. He's empty-handed and in shame. He comes expecting fierce judgment and punishment. We might wonder if he is really repentant, or is he pretending? Whatever, the prodigal son's repentant entrance is curtailed. His father does not even wait for him to get to the gate, let alone the front door, or to be on his knees. The father runs out to meet him, throws his arms around him, kisses him, and then calls for the best robes, the ring, the sandals. Quickly, he says, and start cooking a banquet. This is a very deliberate public display. Jesus' parables were mainly set in rural settings, and in ancient times, houses were clustered together, little villages then surrounded by their market and business area, and then fields and roads. There was no back entry. Everything was in full view. And so the father, by rushing out, gets to his son first and protects him from doing the walk of shame before relatives and neighbours who could be very angered by the sale of the family land that the son lost in his dissolute living. The son, by coming into the village, could well have found himself being stoned, spat upon, cursed and reviled. But the father gets there first. There will be something of the prodigal son and the elder son in all of us. And it is interesting, we can spend so much time dwelling on sin and judgment, sometimes too focused on the sin and not on God's mercy and redemption. God's interest is more about getting us to come home. He wants all his children to come home, the snobby ones, the selfish ones. This parable for me is huge. There is so much to ask, to wonder and reflect on. Like even, well, what is sin? Is it only what others do that's sinful? Are there big sins and little sins? Are there forgivable sins and unforgivable sins? Are there sins which we call sins but aren't? And sins that we commit and yet don't recognise as sin or manage to ignore? Was the younger brother more sinful than the older brother? Well, the father calls neither of his sons sinful. The words he uses are dead and alive, lost and found. The father speaks about the importance and reality of restored relationships. The father is so generous to all his children. He divided his property between both of them. And the eldest son seems to forget that in his public boycott of the welcome home party. Now the father goes out again, this time to the other son. He could be angry with him because of his attitude, because he too is, in a sense, shaming the father. But no, despite that, the father wants him to come home too. He wants to rejoice with both of his sons. God's love is so powerful and life-changing. I believe people become transformed when they realise and come to know God's love for them. I don't think people find salvation by being threatened or punished. There is this little story about Gandhi which simply illustrates this. When Gandhi was about 15 years old, he stole a little piece of gold from his brother. But afterwards he felt so guilty about it that he decided to confess the deed to his father, and he wrote out his sin on a piece of paper asking for forgiveness and punishment while promising never to steal again. At the time, his father was in bed sick. Gandhi handed him the note and sat by the bedside waiting for judgment. His father sat up in bed and began to read the note. And as he read it, tears came into his eyes. Gandhi himself also cried. Instead of getting angry and punishing him, the father hugged his repentant son, and that was the end of the matter. The experience of being loved while he was in sin had a profound effect on Gandhi. He said later, "Only the person who has experienced this kind of love can know what it is." A child does not remain a child. A child becomes an adult. An adult may become a father or mother literally or metaphorically in their circumstances. In the parable, both sons have the opportunity to reclaim their sonship and to grow into being a father themselves. And this is part of the journey in coming home. Do you want to be like the father, to be not just the one who is being forgiven, but also the one who forgives? Not just the one who is welcomed home, but also the one who welcomes home? Not just the one who receives compassion, but the one who offers it as well? Jesus actually said, "Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate." Now, God's compassion is described by Jesus not simply to show how willing God is to forgive and to reconcile, but to invite us to become like God and to show the same compassion to others as he shows to us. We are the children, the sons and daughters, heirs, joint heirs with Christ of a compassionate God. When you look in the mirror or say something or act in a certain way, do you see yourself becoming more like your parent? And that moment brings home a sharp realization of relationship. Jesus is the model for our becoming the Father. His unity with the Father is so intimate and so complete that to see Jesus is to see the Father. You may have known a person through whom you glimpse God, maybe more than a glimpse. And as children of God, may we grow up and take on the face of our Heavenly Father for others. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians saying, "We must no longer be children, but grow up in every way into him, into Christ, building ourselves up together in love." We thank you for this amazing parable that speaks of the deep, deep love of God, our Father and Mother. And we thank you for proving this love as you hung on a cross. Help us to grow and to mature and to reflect this deep, deep love of God to those we meet. In your name we pray. Amen.